Blog Talk Radio.
Four. They're coming to get you, Barbara.
We belong dead. That's actually from Frankenstein, but also, Bride of Frankenstein, but that's also what every Walmart shopper is saying nowadays. Apparently, folks, I don't know, apparently Christmas season has started already. I don't know, it's not even Thanksgiving, but whatever. This is your insane host with the most, Gore Girl. This is the rescheduled show from last night, guys, because I don't know what happened. I'm just going to say that the man tried to shut us down. That's all I know. I don't know anything other than that. I guess it's one too many times that, you know, we did the Obama's an Antichrist show. I don't know. I don't know what's happening. I thought it was kind of odd that the SWAT team was piled outside, but, you know, I'm not going to say nothing. Oh, my God. So, yes, this is insane because, okay, it's rescheduled because of all the technical difficulties. If I have technical difficulties tonight, that's it. I'm throwing things. I don't care. The producers can fire me. Whatever. It's not a big deal. They're actually looking quite nervous right now. But what's up, guys? This is now officially Thursday the 13th, which should have been yesterday, aptly named, for our technical difficulties we had. But I am Gore Girl, and I'm here in some form or another. I bashed my head into a wall yesterday. Oh, God, that was crazy, guys. I don't know what happened. You know what, though? I'm going to get right into it because I didn't get to do the full show yesterday, and there was so much cool stuff I had to talk about with you guys. And I actually have my producers here. You know, usually I have one or two that hover over me and Techie Yed, but now we actually have the gamut of them in the studio. Apparently the technical problems last night were so bad, they pulled in the whole crew. I don't know. I'm not saying nothing. I don't know what's going on. So either that or it's going to take that many of them to remove me from the studio. Not sure. Oh, God, guys. So we joined Horror Movie Mike and all their good people. We joined their network. We used to be part of the Sunday night lineup of paranormal shows. It was Ghostly Talk, Ghostman, Demon Hunter, and then the Gore Girl Variety Hour. And actually, I do the Ghostman, Demon Hunter. Well, that's behind the scenes. But I'm actually on that show for so you. For the new people that are listening, they're kind of like, who is this Gore Girl and why is she talking? Well, I'll get used to it because I ramble a lot. No, seriously, we do the international hit, the Ghostman Demon Hunter show. That's where Gore Girl started. That's where I was conceptualized, I guess, coming off of the horror movie film industry where I used to do special effects. So here I am now doing radio. I don't know. I guess I'm all over the place. I have no idea what's going on. And, you know, doing Ghostman Demon Hunter behind the scenes. Whatever. You know, it's all good. So that's a quick catch-up for everybody that's new, because we had a lot of questions last night, like, who is this Gore Girl? Where does she, what is this? What is this crap? And then, of course, it was silent the rest of the show because we had technical difficulties. So we're like, that was the fancy show on record. That's a horrible impression, but whatever. Anyway, guys, oh my God, seriously, why are people shopping for Christmas? I ran into Walmart today because I need to get a bin for my severed heads from Halloween, and of course there's no other reason to go in there, right? So I go in there for my bin, and there's like little old ladies running around shopping carts full of Christmas stuff. I'm like, what is this? I was like, what are you doing? So, you know, I was getting a kick out of watching them claw each other's eyes out over, like, year-old cocoa mix. It was interesting. Very interesting. But anyway, guys, we are insane. I don't know. We're missing Techie Ed because, of course, he's still on the run from the cops. Yeah, it's that necrophilia thing. I'm going to look up those laws in Illinois because I thought it was legal in Illinois. Apparently, I don't know what I was smoking. But Techie Ed, run! Run! Don't let him catch you! Pull out! Pull out! Oh, that was wrong. But anyway, I just want to say welcome. All right, if you're new, welcome. That's all I'm going to say to you. And catch up quick because, we just don't have time for this crap. We don't have time for lovey-dovey crap, so get used to it, okay? I ramble. It's spooks. It's horror. You know, we bring on paranormal guests. I'm going to bring on my friends from the horror film industry, you know. Who cares? We're getting everybody on, you know. And if not, I'm just going to ramble, and it's fine. And you're going to like it. But anyway, guys, do you know what today is? We couldn't have done this yesterday. I was going to mention it, but it technically wasn't the day, so I couldn't do anything. Today is the day, 34 years ago, to this day, that Ronald DeFeo Jr. killed his family inside the Amityville Horror House. My producer's face just dropped. Did I drop a bomb, perhaps? Yes. For all you guys that don't know, all right, and I know you paranormal fans of mine like are all over this stuff, but 34 years ago to this day, Ronald DeFeo Jr. killed his two brothers, his two sisters, his mother and his father, at 3 o'clock in the morning with a rifle on that infamous house on Ocean Avenue. At 6:30 the next evening, he actually ran into a local bar and pleaded for help. So he told the cops that, you know, he feared that it was a mob hit or something, that's such a plausible excuse. Oh, my God, my cat died. It was a mob. It was the mob. My cat talked. It meowed too much. I don't get it. I don't know. No, we're from Chicago. I do the show live from Chicago, right? And all the fans around the world know, you know, I think I should get royalties from Google because I've made Chicago, like, the number one hit on Google. Seriously, it's because I live here. No, I'm just kidding. Everyone's like, really? Wow. Well, everybody around the world knows, you know, Gorgel hails from Chicago. It's the hometown, good stuff. And everybody knows our incriminating past. But I don't know. I'm telling you, I think it's those mobster birds that fly over Grant Park. And anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to rehash. Go into the archives and listen to my 4th of July show. It was scary. It was frightening. People ran. Children were carried away. Pizzas were ordered. It was nuts. So I'm going to leave it at that. But anyway, told the cops it was a mob hit. Obviously, it wasn't. There's so many inconsistencies in his story. The next day, he confessed to it. So, of course, he tried to plead. A year later, trial came as a big thing. He pleaded insanity. Obviously, they didn't buy it. You know, they're like, okay, whatever. So he's actually serving 6 consecutive life sentences right now for the murder of his family. And, of course, we all know the story. 13 months later, the Lutzes moved in. After a month, they fled. They told the whole world they were harassed by demonic entities. And, of course, everybody to this day is the Amityville Horror. Was it for real? Was it a hoax? Well, I don't know. Everybody knows this in the horror and paranormal communities, which are the two communities that, you know, basically I give a crap about. I don't know. That's all I got to say about you guys. But, you know, everybody knows this. The horror film audience knows this because the Amityville Horror, the 79 flick with Brolin and Kidder, everybody knows that movie. I love that movie personally. But then I got involved in the paranormal, guys, and I had the awesome opportunity from doing the international paranormal show, Ghost Man Demon Hunter, to be affiliated with this lifestyle, these people. You know, I've always been intensely interested in ghost hunting. It was a hobby of mine. Got the call to do the show. So, you know, we were broadcasting everything. And, you know, I sort of got thrown into the paranormal lifestyle, so to speak. It's not really like Hugh Hefner lifestyle. We don't wear, like, jackets and go around and, like, sleep with ghosts or something. I don't know. Well, unless you're Techie Ed. But so I had the awesome, awesome opportunity, guys, to be friends with, to be affiliated with Tim Yancey. I don't know how many of you know that name. Everybody in the paranormal is like, ah, Tim. Tim Yancey actually does a lot of radio. He's in Florida, does a lot of radio. He does Encounters, which is his particular show that he and his wife do. Awesome, awesome stuff. Totally just, I mean, the guy's amazing. He's funny. He's smart. He's brilliant. The stuff that he's done is awesome. But he also has the extra oomph of being the official authority on the Amityville Horror Haunting. He was actually friends with George and Kathy Lutz. They told him personal information. I'm telling you guys, I talked to him, and he could tell you what they ate on the 14th morning. He could tell you what type of salt was in the cabinet on day 7. Seriously, he knows every single detail and fact about the haunting the entire time the Lutzes lived there. He, you know, remained friends with them. Of course, they passed on, but they left him the rights to the Amityville Horror legacy. They left him the rights to the website. They left him, you know, the official authority with all the stories and everything. And I'm telling you, we had him on G&D one time, and he actually has tapes of DeFeo talking, like interviews with this man. It will chill you to the bone to listen to this guy. He talks about how he was in the basement and he kept seeing shadows running around, and that, you know, every time from each room that he went, there was just shadow people running out of the rooms, you know, like encouraging him to kill his family. That, you know, he said that there was a, on that morning that he decided to kill him, there was a black shadow person. Well, obviously they're black. What other color are they? They're just a shadow person is just a totally, it's basically looks like a human, guys, if you don't know what a shadow person is, but it's completely black. It's a shadow. So the shadow person came up and handed him the rifle. And this person had glowing white hands, is what DeFeo said. Handed him the rifle and told him to kill his family. And like he said, from each room that he walked to and shot them in the head, these shadow people were scurrying around. And he said it was almost like hell was rejoicing somewhat. It was, it's, I'm telling you, it chilled me. And nothing scares me. I'm Gore Girl, for God's sakes. You know, I go off and sever people's heads. I eat limbs for breakfast. But this guy, listening to him, I'm like, wow. Because if you're involved in the paranormal and you've come across certain situations, yeah, we try to be professional. We get our K2 responses, you know, we get our EMF, and you know, we record our little things, and oh, yes, and it was 45 degrees over here. I mean, yeah, we do our whole thing, but there is a part that every once in a while, it just chills your bone, just some of the stuff, you know. I mean, some of the stuff that happened to me at Waverly Hills, still, there was still a little chill that goes down my back when I think about it. But, I mean, to listen to this guy and what he said, and this is what he swears up and down happened, that he was forced to, that he was told to. And, of course, me, you know, being, you know, here I am with Tim Yancey, and, you know, I'm on the phone with him, and I'm like, oh, my God, Tim, I got questions for you. So I was going off, right? And, of course, I wanted to know, being, you know, the huge horror, you know, fanatic that I am, I was like, what did Kathy think about the 1979 film with Brolin and all them? And he said that they didn't really mind it, but that's not what happened. That obviously Hollywood took some consideration and did it their way, but that's not what happened. It was different. But he said they didn't really mind it. He said what really pissed them off was that new film that just came out. What's his name? Oh, God. Ryan Reynolds was in it and played George Lutz. He said that Kathy, I think it actually came out after George died. He said that Kathy was furious. She said that that is not how George was. That's not how it happened. How dare they paint him as, you know, psychotic like that. And so they didn't, I mean, they weren't happy with the 79 version, but they were a hell of a lot happier with it than the new version that just came out a few years ago. So I just, and to me, that it's like, wow. You know, you see these stories based on people, and you don't think about, well, what do they think about it? You know, what's going on with them? You know, you never think that, you know, because you don't get close enough to know. Or you see interviews, but it's not the same thing as, like, talking to somebody that was right there, you know, like hanging out in somebody's kitchen talking about it. I mean, it's just, it's different. And it's just, wow. It's chilling, guys. But don't worry, because we're not going to leave that alone. We're actually, I'm in the process right now of trying to get Tim on the show. He's a busy guy. He's got lots of stuff going on, and we got to rearrange the schedule a little bit here. But we're going to get Tim on, and I'm going to have him bring some of those audio clips that he has, because I swear to God, guys, you'll crap yourselves. You will. And I'm not going to be there to clean it up. It's your fault. So, okay. Yeah, don't listen to me then. But, wow. Just, I'm sitting here right now and I'm like, God, 34 years ago to this day, the original murders happened. I mean, yeah, seriously, the mood in my studio just dropped, guys. The producers are all shaking. I think half of them left. They're like, well, no tech problems here. We got to go. Oh, my God. It was nuts. I don't know. Just, I was going to mention it last night, but I think it kind of works that the show had trouble last night because we actually get to broadcast the day of. So I think that's kind of chilling, kind of cool, a little creepy. So watch your back, guys. That's all I'm going to say about that. Can you imagine if that guy got out? Like, did he die in prison? This I don't know about. I think he's still alive. But can you imagine if this guy got out and totally, like, started running around? I mean, really? It could be the same excuse all over again. Oh, well, shadow person made me do it. I'm going to use that from now on. I'm going to go up and punch somebody in the supermarket. Oh, I'm sorry. That shadow person, man, they just wouldn't shut up. I don't know what's going on. Seriously, that's not an excuse. Don't use paranormal as an excuse, okay? You can say no. Don't be weak-minded. Of course, if you're listening to our show, it's because we brainwashed you. Anyway, and I have to say, too, I'm going to throw this out there, because actually, God, I went and saw that piece of crap movie, The Haunting of Molly Hartley. For God's sakes, what did a five-year-old write that? I can't even handle it. I don't even know. I'm sitting here astonished, my jaw just hanging open. Who decided to make crap? I mean, who decided, of all the movies that have ever come out, I mean, I've seen some really crappy films, but they at least had action. They at least had, like, Vin Diesel in them or something. I mean, they were crap, but there was a reason that promoted them to go to the theater. What the hell was this about? I sat there the whole time, like, is this a trailer? Is this the movie? What is happening? Why is this gay? I don't know. And I don't know. It was horrible, guys. I'm shaking my head right now. It's just horrible. But actually, I was going to review that on Ghostman Demon Hunter, right? But of course, our show was canceled because we had technical difficulties this week. When G&D has technical difficulties, it's a little more hardcore because it's, you know, we're all over the world pretty much. So it's hardcore. We have a technical difficulty. Children die. Baby seals are clubbed. This is what happens when G&D has technical difficulties. And now I'm going to get letters. I'm going to get letters. How dare you talk about baby seals getting clubbed? They don't care that I said children are dying, but they care about the baby seals. Priorities. Who cares? We're all going to die soon anyway. So anyway, I have to mention that there's really, please don't go see that movie. I mean, that is my job on G&D, is to review indie films and all sorts of horror films. I mean, just macabre stuff, cult classics. I mean, I go all over the board, right? And every subgenre there is a horror I tap into just to broadcast it to the G&D audience. And all I have to say is I count myself lucky that I get to tell everybody to not go and gouge their eyes out because of a piece of crap film like this. I consider myself a public servant, really. I'm like a firefighter or a cop, man. I'm saving people's lives on the day. Day in, day out. I'm saving you from gouging your eyeballs out. So, yeah, I think Gorgo's run for office now. Look at that. Look at my platform. I save you from gouging your eyes out. And baby seals do not get clubbed when I speak. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think I got a leg to stand on, Miss Producer? I'm getting the thumbs up. Gorgo's run for office. Elect death for president. Anyway, I have to say, the only reason you should walk into the theater for Molly Hartley, you should quickly walk out and don't even pay for the ticket. Go see something else. Come a few minutes before Molly Hartley starts. Go in, see the previews, and then walk out, because that was the best part of the movie. But I do have to say, okay, man, you guys know how I am about remakes. You seriously do, because, you know, I worked in the industry. I've, you know, hung out with these people. You know, this is a day in, day out thing. But you guys know how I am about remakes. And I'm all about passion, bringing it back to the roots, bringing the truth and passion back to horror films, you know, bring it back to the industry. And I do not like remakes at all. sequels and remakes just, I mean, really, can Hollywood take more of our tear-stained dollars and pad their pockets with it? No, I don't think they can. But they're going to try. So I have to say, I'm not really a big fan of remakes, but I am excited because the Friday the 13th remake and the prequel slash remake that they're doing in Nightmare on Elm Street, I'm actually excited. Okay, and all right, let me put it in perspective because I know people are probably going to groan, and I don't care, but I don't like remakes. I don't think you should. It's a classic for a reason. Leave it alone. Rob Zombie, shame on you. I'm going to slap the crap out of you next time I see you. It's just, this is horrible, guys. But I don't know. There's something about Jason and Freddy. It's almost like if you remake any other movie, we're furious. Because, like, it's a certain way, and you really can't tamper with it because it totally throws off the whole style. But with Freddy and Jason, what's the reason we watch those films? Not for subplots or plots or even characters. We watch it simply to see Jason and Freddy kill people. That's all we care about. I just want to see Jason pick up a machete and lop some chick's head off. That's all I want to see. I don't care what happens in the background. I don't care that they're in love and they're going to get married and, oh, we don't have enough for the mortgage. Let's spend 15 minutes talking about our life and making plans. No, I just want to see you die. And I want to see Jason do it. That's all. I mean, that's the reason we go see it. That's why they're cult classics. That's why the Friday the 13th movies, pardon the expression, are campy films. I mean, this is the reason for it, guys, is this is what we want. This is what we crave. This is what we, you know, and especially the time period which they came out, the 80s, that was just, oh, my God, chock full of, that is when slasher just totally went overboard. That's when slasher became, God, you guys can't even see my hand gestures, but that's when slasher became Faye. But seriously, yeah, do a little, God, guys. But I just don't get it. Like, you know, they make all these other remakes, and they're crap. Okay, make something we want to see. We want to see slaughter. We want to see blood. We want to see Jason pick up his old familiar stomping grounds. We want to see Freddy wield crazy one-liners about pop culture that doesn't exist anymore and kill people. This is what we want. So I'm actually excited to see these movies. There is one thing I'm not excited about. I'm just going to say it right now. I saw the Friday 13th preview, you know, obviously. I'd seen clips of it from trade shows, and some of the insider people had sent me stuff, God, months back. But I never saw the whole official trailer put together nicely. So this is the first time I'd seen it put together nice. I have to say, they made Jason run. Why did they make Jason run? It's like Dawn of the Dead, the remake. We don't want our zombies to run. That's not scary. I'm like, what is this? It's scary because you're like, you're led into a false illusionment. You're like, oh, all they do is walk. That's stupid. They're not going to get me. And then all of a sudden there's 50 around you and they're gnawing your brain. That's awesome. That's scary. It's unexpected terror. I like my terror unexpected. I'm telling you guys, I demand it unexpected. So I don't know what's going on with this. But I am excited to see it because I just want to see Jason kill things. I mean, really, we don't need his backstory. We get it. We got it from the first movie. Pamela Voorhees was awesome. My favorite Friday 13th was the first one, minus Jason. I mean, it was the first one. It was the original slaughter, the original kill, the original setup. I mean, that was my favorite. Savini, man, you know, my mentor, the guy that, you know, taught me effects. I mean, look at his effects in that movie. It was pure splatterfest. It was gimmicks. It was things to get the audience. It was hooks. That's when special effects became just as much of a hook and a ploy to a movie as music. I mean, it was, you know, the 80s were incredible. I loved it. But I don't know. So I'm excited about that. I am. I'm not going to lie. Of course, I'm going to be disappointed. I'm going to spew for an hour on the show after it comes out about how crappy it was. But still, I'm excited to see it. The one thing I am not excited to see is My Bloody Valentine 3D. Why'd you need to remake this one? This is one of those ones that we didn't need to see. We got it. The first one, it was great. It was, you know, kitschy. It was a little suspenseful. Good times. We don't need another one. I'm sorry, I didn't sit there after the first one and go, you know what? I think we need another one. I think we need another go-round. And you know what? I'd like this one to be in 3D. Who the hell said that? Nobody. First of all, 3D was great because it was from the 80s. It's not great now. What do we have 3D now? We have Shark Boy and Lava Girl. Please, no. I'm done. It's over. But the 80s ones were great. You had Amityville Horror 3D. You had Jaws 3D, which still cracks me up that they show that all the time on cable. I mean, I don't know. I think that was Dennis Quaid's, like, biggest role ever of his life. But what do I know? So, I mean, Jaws 3D, you had Amityville Horror 3D. You know, Friday 13th did their third one in 3D. I mean, come on, guys. That's enough for me, okay? That was cool. I love 3D, though. Didn't I go off on one of our past shows about 3D? I don't know. We got archives, people. Go to blogtalkradio.com/gore, or is it Gigi Show? God, I don't even remember anymore. I've only been gone 2 weeks. I'm like, what the hell was it? Gigi Show, guys. blogtalkradio.com/Gigi Show. All our archives are on there. Crazy-ass stuff. That was back in the day. It was only a month ago. And I feel like it's been years. I'm going to cry. No, God, we had all our archives are chock full with stuff. Our insanity, it's when I went off about 3D and crap. It's all in the description. You know, we had Ed Neal from Texas Chainsaw Massacre on, you know, Circus Envy, the horror clown, you know, all sorts of crazy stuff. So definitely go check the archives out. We're working on the website now because, of course, technical difficulties. they seem to run our life. But technical difficulties have kept the website from being up sooner. So we're definitely working on that, guys. Actually, the producers are supposed to be working on that. But, yeah, you know how that goes, right? So, I don't know. We'll see what happens with that. But as soon as I get that up, that's going to be thatggshow.com. So I'll have all the archives up on there. One nice, neat little package. You guys don't have to run around like, what the hell did that crazy curly-haired, you know, bitch say, blah, blah, blah. I can say that on air, right? Yeah, yeah, that's not part of it. We were talking yesterday, before we got rudely interrupted by Blog Talk, about which they swear up and down was not their fault, but I'm not pointing any fingers. All I know is I'm going to beat them with my towel, and that's it. No, but what we were saying yesterday, I said ass or something on air. I was talking about, do you remember Carlin's skit that he did about the 7 words you cannot say in radio or television? Okay, well, guys, I do the international show Ghost Man Demon Hunter. Okay, we have to watch what we say. We cannot swear. We cannot do this. We cannot say that. We basically have to stay within the, you're not allowed to do this. You're not allowed to say that. You know, we're, you know, that's the radio show. We can't, you know, we can't do that. So I've kind of like trained myself because I'm like a sailor with the swearing, you know. I mean, ask any of the fans at media conventions. I'm like, we're the beep, do you want me to sign? Oh, you know, I'm signing fans' asses. It's crazy. So definitely, next time I'm at a horror convention, you guys are going to have to come out and see me because it gets nuts. You know, I'm standing there with a beer in my hand, swearing. Everyone's like, there's Gore Girl. She's drunk. She just fell off the stage. Good times. But good times had by all. So I don't know. So, you know, I can't say certain things on air. And I always question what's okay. Now, right now, you know, yeah, we joined Horror Movie Radio, but we're all still kind of outside of FCC radar. Like, we're not so far in that we'll get in trouble, but we still kind of have to kind of watch what we're doing. So I still question. But, yeah, I can't say crap on G&B because the show will just – I'll get killed. That's all I can say. But I do have to say, I said twat on air one time on G&B. It caused – a mass explosion, guys. I had everybody coming down on me. You can't say twat. You said that on air. You can't say that on air. We're going to get yanked from half of our people. And I'm like, it's twat. I didn't know twat was bad. You know, it's not the F word. It's not this. It's not that. Why can't we say twat? I don't get it. So, you know, I have this running joke now that if people are going to, if they're going to come get me and fire me and just take me out, as they're dragging me away with my headphones, I'm going to be like, twat, 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 just in defiance. So I said yesterday, I'm going to say it again, but I am making a promise to all the fans around the world, all the Gore Girl fans out there, that the next big venue we do, which is FCC regulated, I am going to use all 7 of Carlin's dirty words. I'll deal with the fines later. Somebody else can handle that jazz. I don't know, what is it? It's like $250,000 for each word or something. Wait, just wait, guys. Just We got to build up some income first, and then I'll go off and spew that crap. But it is my solemn duty as a First Amendment protector that I say these words to you guys, because, guys, they're just words, really. It's like Carlin said, man. Why are people getting so uptight? They're just words. Psh, I don't know. So anyway, guys, I don't know. Should we take a break? My producer's like, yeah, you have to take a break. We have it scheduled. Well, excuse the hell out of me for going against the schedule. But, okay, guys, we're going to go real fast, and we're going to do a break. Actually, we're going to do a break my way. This is going to be my way to do a break, all right? I'm actually just going to give you the information like live radio because I don't feel like leaving, and the producers can't make me. They have to come inside this room and force me to do things. I got the door locked. So come on, bitches. Come on. That's all I'm going to say. And I said that word again. You want to find me? Come on. So anyway, real quick, guys, I'm going to do a live commercial for you, and then we're going to get right back into it because we got so much packed tonight, guys. I got lots of info for you, basically just me rambling about stuff. So that's always good times. So listen up. Yeah, because I said.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Sanctuary Crystals. It's the place to go. It's your metaphysical emporium. You can go to them at www.sanctuarycrystals.com. They have Reiki and healing and meditation, tarot, psychic fairs. You guys need to go. You need some citrine, which happens to be the stone of the week. Go to Sanctuary Crystals to pick some up. They'll fill all your needs. Ding. That's so gay, but it was funny. The producers were like, and she just went against everything that we set up earlier. Yeah, I don't feel like playing your commercial. What you gonna do about it? Anyway, you know, all the new fans are probably like, what is this? This girl is nuts. She just talks and she's crazy. And yeah, I am, and I don't care. And when Techie Ed comes back, it's gonna be even nuttier. Because basically he's in charge of all the tech stuff inside the room while I go off. So since I'm kind of distracted, I'm a little more tame than I usually am. But wait, you guys have no idea what's coming. But actually, let's talk about what's coming up on GG, okay? I almost said G&D, see? I don't know. I'm doing more promoting for them than my own damn show. it is my show, though. So, you know, I should promote G&D. Yeah, the producers are saying no, so... Well, F you. Where's Carlin at when you need him? Please rest in peace. You know, let's give a moment of silence for Carlin because that man was brilliant. I mean, he's like, I'm a huge Gene Wilder fan. You know, I have my comic people I like, but yeah, Carlin, man, he was top. So moment of silence. Bing. Okay. Guys, I was talking about Walmart earlier, right? Christmas. Christmas is coming. Okay, first of all, you need to stick around for the month of December, okay? Because what do we got going on, guys? Month of December is Christmas horror. I swear to God, guys. We've got tons of crazy stuff. I mean, what does that mean? What does Christmas mean with the horror thing? We want our horror red and green, guys. I mean, December, it's going to bring an onslaught of twinkling terror. I mean, we're going to jump headfirst into Christmas slaughter. Movies, spooks, mayhem. We are going to be your elves of evil, guys. The entire month of December, Gore Girl's going to be your elf of evil. That's right. No, seriously, we're going to have all sorts of crazy stuff going on. We're getting so hardcore. It's not just going to be horror movies. I spew about horror movies all the time because that's my passion. But, you know, that's what I worked in. That's what I was bred on. You know, it's what I eat, breathe, and sleep. But seriously, we're going to get some crazy stuff. We're going to have ghost stories for the month of December. We're going to have stuff that will make you, like, totally think of Christmas in a whole other way. You want to think all jolly and, you know, oh, the snow is falling. I'm going to curl up with some Dean Martin and a nice martini. Hell no. We're going to bring you severed heads on a slab. That's what we're bringing. So be prepared, guys, because December's going to be crazy. And then next week, guys, we got Rob Dunbar, all right? He's the author of It's the author of The Pines, which is about the Pine Barren area, New Jersey, this deep wooded area where they have the Jersey Devil. So I've been telling people, because everyone like that isn't involved in cryptozoology is kind of like, what? I'm like, people think chupacabra. Think that, okay? It's kind of the same thing. There's a lot of myths surrounding it. It's kind of like Bigfoot. People go hunting for it. There's associations dedicated to it. So we got the guy that's actually written documentation on it, and I mean, he's crazy. We love him. Good stuff. So he's on next week, Rob Dunbar. Excuse me. I'm like, I apparently I need some water or something. Of course, we can't afford that here at the GG Hour, or our producers choose not to give it to us. I still think it's some sort of terror tactic. Anyway, so we got Rob coming on, and then the week after, we got my man Lloyd coming on. The last time I freaking saw Lloyd was Baltimore, like 2 years ago. I was like, oh, my God, what are you doing? And he was promoting Poltergeist then. So he's still promoting Poltergeist, guys. And we're going to bring him on. I had no idea that people from our – I guess they're our families, our brothers, or as Ghostman calls them, brothers from another mother. But I had no idea they brought Lloyd on a couple weeks ago. That's awesome. He's out. He's promoting. He's kicked it up a notch. He's going everywhere and anything. And we're going to bring him on because I haven't seen him in a couple of years. And screw it. We're bringing him on. So it's going to be nuts because for those of you that don't know, who – come on. It's Lloyd Kaufman, man. He's the head of freaking Troma Studios. I mean, you're talking Toxic Avenger. You're talking Killer Condoms, Rabid Grannies, God, Class of Nukem High, Romeo and Juliet. I mean, God, Tromaville, guys. He created an entire city. I mean, it's just, it's insane. Troma, to me, represents, they call themselves Real Independent. Real as in R-E-E-L. But they, to me, are more than an independent film studio, guys. They're the essence of film. Okay, yeah, they purposely make bad films or fine obscure films or fine, you know, schlocky films. But that's their niche, guys. That's the thing they're into. But to me, Troma is rebellion. Troma is taking everything that people are fearful of, are, you know, run away from, that cause taboos, you know, people that, you know, just basically have a stick up their ass. And Troma is like the antidote to that. I guess it's the antidote to uptight society. I think Lloyd needs to buy that for me. I think I just invented Troma's new tagline. It's the antidote to a stuck-up society. Seriously, guys. I mean, to me, Troma represented, when I was a kid, it represented, you know, here, we've got this insane subject matter. We've got this stuff that you shouldn't like, but we're not presenting it to you in the way that you're going to go out and do it. We're representing it to you like, look, we can do this with cinema. This is what film is all about. This is what passion is all about. And screw what everyone says because they're, like I said, they're just being uptight. So, I mean, to me, Troma is rebellion. Troma is bringing back passion, bringing back, you know, the true nature, thinking outside the box, throwing it back in people's faces, you know, totally turn around, making people think. It's totally like Hitchcock, you know. I mean, Hitchcock, like I said before in many shows, was my icon. He was my idol. I've read his notebook. An incredible mind that guy had. He purposely would take you out of your reality and put you in somewhere else for 2 hours and slap you around and make you think. I mean, that's what we want, guys. That's what we need nowadays. We're missing that. So I think Troma is the next best thing. Troma is, it's surreal. That's all I can say is it's surreal reality. And it's saying, hey, I mean, don't be afraid. You know, don't be afraid to think outside the box. Don't be afraid to be passionate. Don't be afraid to look different. Don't be afraid to act different because everybody's telling you something that just doesn't jive. So, I don't know. That's all I got to say. So, we got him coming on Black Wednesday, which I'm excited about because you know what freaking Black Wednesday is, right? No? Our producers don't know what Black Wednesday is. Oh, my God. This is crazy. This is crazy. First of all, you people need to know what Black Wednesday is. No, it's not like a black, like, I don't know, nothing about the stock market, things like that. Actually, Black Wednesday is something, some sort of crash that happened in Britain in like 92. But no, that's not what it is. Every college kid or partier in the U.S. knows what Black Wednesday is. It is, it's also called AKA the night before Thanksgiving. Come on, people. Black Wednesday is actually a time to celebrate with your friends before you're thrust into the holiday season. Because seriously, guys, what's November and December? I mean, this is like you're stuck with family. You're with them, okay, the entire Thanksgiving weekend. You know, you go into it. All you have, you know, the night before is your only salvation because you're going to spend the whole weekend with, you know, Uncle Rory and, you know, the crazy aunt with the beard. And, I mean, all these insane people, you know, your cousin that doesn't, you know, too many knocks on the head from football or whatever, doesn't know his own name. I mean, seriously, you're spending your entire weekend with these people. Half of them are probably crashing at your place. You know, your parents, I mean, it's just insane. And it's funny because, okay, we all, Yeah, we all buy into it. Okay, it's a time. It's a peaceful time. You hang out with your family. You appreciate what you have. But really, how many people out there? I don't think there's anybody out there that doesn't have at least one family member that just rides you and rides you. I mean, just you want to grind their face into the floor. I don't know. I have a few of them. I don't know. I just punch the mic. That's how angry I am. I just punch the mic. But whatever. I don't care. And I'm spitting all over the place. Pisses me off. But no, seriously, it's welcome to the month of family functions. So this is the last night. It's actually, did you know it's the biggest party night of the year? I've been all over Black Wednesday. Last year we had an awesome Black Wednesday. So this year, what better way to celebrate before you go out and get sloshed than to hang out with Lloyd Kaufman? We're going to be hanging out with Lloyd Kaufman on Black Wednesday. That's a great way to start, guys. And then you go and you finish it off with some Jaeger bombs or whatever it is that you're doing that night. So shots of Jameson, whatever. But and actually, Ed and I will probably be drunk as we're doing the show. I don't know, good times. But, you know, I was saying it about, you know, the whole Black Wednesday thing. And it's our job to get you guys prepped for the biggest night of the year. So what better way to do it? And, I mean, it's just a no-holds part of night of debauchery and drunkenness. Where can you go wrong? But I do have to say, all right, we are totally off our format, okay? Ever since we joined, I'm looking at the producers like, yeah, are we running? Ever since we joined, guys, the Horror Movie Mike Network, I don't even know who the other person is that runs the show. All I do is I talk to Mike. So there's some other guy that does the show with him. I don't even know who he is. I'm sorry, I don't know who you are. So basically, it's Horror Movie Mike. Basically, he runs everything. So the other guy's going to be all pissed and the SWAT team after me, but whatever, I don't know who you are. So, we... Okay. Wow. All right, guys, we officially got kicked off. Cool. I don't know what that was about. We seriously have some major problems, guys. That's effed up. I don't even know what to say. Whoa. Okay, apparently it's telling us that the switchboard is going nuts. Cool. We like switchboard craziness. This is what happened last night, guys. I was in the middle of talking, and I'm like, I don't even know what the hell I just said, because apparently we're not on air anymore. But guess what? We are now. So screw it. Well, we lost a minute. Much better than last night where we lost the whole damn show. Anyway, all right, I'm just going to get into this because we're running out of time, and I just don't have time for this crap. And if we get dropped again, I'm going to be ticked off. But seriously, all right, Black Wednesday, there is no definitive notable movie to commemorate Black Wednesday. But I think a film of drinking, debauchery, and slaughter is always the best ticket. What do you guys think? And I was saying right before that our format is usually we do cult classic, which is some movie that people should see or that they haven't seen, they need to see it. Or just if you have seen it and you're a horror film fan and you're into it, something to remind you, to jog your memory, to make you smile because you love it, you miss it, you want it. So, that's our cult classic corner. And we always do stuff like, you know, a haunted place, or we do a haunted, you know, location, or we do like stoner herb of the week for our spiritual friends, good times like that. But you know what, guys? We haven't done a cult classic in like weeks, months, years, whatever. So here we go, guys. Like I said, I think a film to commemorate Black Wednesday is in order. And since we don't have a specific Black Wednesday film, my selection for our Black Wednesday viewing in 2 weeks, or up to 2 weeks, is The House on Sorority Row from 83. Hell yeah, one of my personal faves. First of all, guys, okay, this is directed by Mark Rossman. This was his first film out of the gate, guys. He hung out with De Palma. He did the whole Carrie thing. So, I mean, what better to have direct a crazy 80s slasher flick than some guy that basically helped dump pig's blood all over Sissy Spacek. Good times, good times. But, I mean, you know, having worked with De Palma gives him an advantage, though, guys. But seriously, he directed things such as, I mean, okay, here he does a slasher film. And I don't know if anybody has has kept up with his career, what he's done since. But he's actually mostly done Disney TV films. He does House of Sorority Row, a slasher flick, then goes on to do Model Behavior, A Cinderella Story, episodes of Even Stevens. I'm like, what? What happened, Mark? Seriously, you're on the road to slaughter, and then you went Disney. I don't get it. Disney slaughter. Perhaps we need to see it. Basically, okay, so it's Kate McNeil, who has done just about every TV show there is, from Bones to Designing Women, Quantum Leap, Ally McBeal, Back Again, all good stuff. Eileen Davidson, who is like a soap opera queen. The woman has been on so many damn soap operas, I don't even know. I think she gives Susan Lucci a run for her money. Janice Ward, good stuff like that. My favorite taglines for this film, the poster that I have especially, sorority sisters, sisters in life, sisters in death. I'm like, hell yeah. Or welcome home to the sorority of your nightmares. Come on, guys. That's awesome. I don't care who you are. But seriously, I'm going to talk about this because I know there's people out there who haven't seen it. And if you have, you know, just smile and shut up because you like it. House and Sorority Row. I remember watching this damn movie as a kid. I watched this movie and, oh, God, I think it was on Spangoolie or something. And I just remember being a kid and just watching this and getting this feeling. There's this feeling you get as a horror fan, especially if it's an 80s film. You get this feeling like, wow, it's this swirling in your stomach. It's this pulse racing. It's just, you know, you get excited. You get giddy. Oh, my God. It's just, I'm getting verklempt, guys. I'm getting verklempt. Talk amongst yourselves, okay? I'm verklempt over here. No, but, I mean, these movies, you know, it's the same thing as I was talking about rainy day rentals, okay? There's certain movies that you could watch on a rainy day, but for horror fans, it's different from the people that watch Meg Ryan films, okay? For us, a rainy day film is, it has a feel to it. Certain movies are not effective to watch during the day or during a rainy day. And by effective, I don't mean they don't scare your little sis properly. I'm talking about this surge that happens inside you, the tingle, the build, a glint of a tear in your eye because this just worked. You wished you were there. You wished you were in the movie. It swirls in your stomach like hot chocolate on a cold winter's night, guys. That's what I'm talking about. Horror fans, you know it well. Just something you can watch. You could drink beer and eat pizza with your friends and laugh at. You had the slaughter. You had the insanity. You had the culture of the 80s, which was probably the best era to have culture anyway. So, I mean, here you had this. This was great, guys. It was absolutely fantastic. So you guys know what I'm feeling. You know this surge. So House of Sorority Row is one of those films that gives you this buildup. It gives you this surge. It's one of those films that is not a great horror film, but you love it anyway. You love how kitschy it is. You love how, you know, campy it is. You just love the dialogue, the hairstyles. You love the graininess in the film. You love the obscure camera shots, you know. I mean, you just loved all of it. And I have to say, so I'm going to give you the little gist of House on Sorority Row. Because I'm going to give you the gist of this, guys. Seven sorority sisters want to have this graduation party, but their house mother refuses to let them have one. So they decide to play this practical joke on her. Well, sure enough, practical joke goes awry. House mother's accidentally shot. How many times has this happened to all of us? She's accidentally shot, and the girls decide to hide her in the pool until the party's over. Then all of a sudden, someone starts brutally murdering them. There you guys, there you go. Just go rent it. That's all you need. That's all you need to know. No, seriously, House and Sorority Row, guys. Okay, the house mother ends up, it's the beginning of the film, she has this botched pregnancy, right? And they do a cesarean. You're like, oh, my God, the baby died. That's sad. Oh, get on to the killing. So she becomes the house mother for the sorority. So the sisters are like, okay, well, they just graduated. They want to have a big party. For some reason, she always wants everybody out of the house on the anniversary of this death. Of the death of her child. Well, the kids don't know this. They don't know why she's kicking them out, you know, like a a day after they graduate. So they're like, no, we want to have this party this weekend to celebrate our graduation and celebrate life and blah, 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 and to have our boobs bounce and drink beer and talk about 80s stuff, pretty much how every 80s film goes, but every 80s slasher film, I should say. So, they go through this whole thing. The house mother says no. It's all this evil stuff. Then you find out the house mother's got some sort of, like, illness or something. You're like, oh, my God, she's crazy. Oh, my God. And the doctor says something like, well, if something happens to her, it could explode her psychotic mental illness. Oh, good to know. So he says that she has latent violence that, I don't know, could spring at any time. So the girls do this prank on her to get back at her. They accidentally shoot her. They throw her in the pool. Perfectly normal, right? And I mean, their pool isn't all crystal clear. It's like, it's muddy. There's leaves everywhere. Can't see in it. So they throw her in the pool. Basically, they go off. Half of them are worried about it, whatever. It's this whole thing. They're running around. And, somebody starts killing people with the house mother's cane. Like stabbing them and hitting them and slashing them and all sorts of stuff. You know, blood spraying all over the lens. All the stuff that we like to lick off the camera lens is happening. So, you know, all this crazy stuff's going on. And it's just awesome because you're like, this is one of those typical 80s movies where they try to keep you, who is it? Is it Mrs. Slater? Is her son not really dead? Has he survived and he's killing people? What's happening? You know, it's this whole like, oh my God, I don't understand what's going on. Ah! So it's this craziness. And, you know, you're kind of like, who is it? And of course, the party's going on and girls are dying everywhere. No one seems to notice as usual. Well, then like what cracks me up is, I mean, and I'm talking guys, when I saw this for the first time as a kid, this was insane to me. This was nuts, you know. I vividly remember the pool. You know, I vividly remember certain scenes about it because it was a bad film, but it was good. I mean, you were just obsessed with it. You just watched it. You're like, wow, that's a kick-ass film. And, I mean, it really was because it's crazy. We don't want our 80s slasher films to be intellectual. No, if we wanted that, we would watch psychological horror films. We are in the slasher genre. Give us a little bit of intellect, that's fine, but really what's the point of it, you know? So here we are, and we're in this, you know, this thing, and I mean, there's a cemetery nearby. The girls go, I mean, it's like a body swap. It's like freaking Haunted Honeymoon. The body's disappearing everywhere. It's showing up in random places. Girls are hiding it all over the place. There's severed heads in toilets. You know, the girls go to a cemetery to bury the body. I crack up because it goes back and forth at the end. Like they're in the house, you know, some girls are in the house, then they're by the cemetery, a couple of girls are by the cemetery, and the killer kills a girl at the cemetery, 5 seconds later goes to the house, kills a girl at the house, goes back to the cemetery to kill another girl. I'm a kid and I thought this was awesome. He's just running randomly back and forth. Okay, I'm at the cemetery, I'm gonna kill you. Now I'm gonna trot over here to the house and I'm gonna kill you, but I'm gonna go back to the cemetery while you're freaking out that I just killed your friend. I'm gonna kill this other chick. I mean, it was crazy. And then the cane, I mean, it was nuts. But see, this film, it's usually lumped with similar slasher flicks of the 80s, okay? Slumber Party Massacre, Prom Night. I mean, there's a lot of things in the 80s that were recycled, which is fine by me because those are some of my favorite films to watch. Those are my favorite rainy day rentals, my favorite films that give me a surge of craziness. So hell yeah, I'm going to watch them. So, you know, it definitely borrowed from it. It borrowed from Sleepaway Camp, all that stuff. But the biggest thing that people say is, you know, I see similarities in just about every 80s movie. And this cracked me up, but it borrowed elements from Bob Clark's Black Christmas, which we're going to get into towards December, so don't worry about it. Being your elves of evil, we'll have to give you some tingling terror, some jingle balls of, what's the J word that is something evil? You know the word that popped in my head? Jalopy. We're going to be your Jingle Bell Jalopy. That's what we're going to be, guys. We're your Jingle Bell Jalopy. You can ride us all the way to Christmas. Good job. If our fenders don't fall off first, which apparently the technical difficulties, we might as well be a Jingle Bell Jalopy. I keep it talking. Now we're jalapenos, Jalopy. For God's sakes, just keep going. Just keep going. So, and this is hysterical, because when I do the other show, I mean, I'm dead on, I never screw up a lot. This show, I'm like an insane maniac. like, I'm all professional on that show. On this show, I'm nuts. I don't know. I, like, eat the mic. I, like, lick blood off the table. I'm insane. I know, it's crazy. Look what happens. You give Gore Girl her own show. It's insanity. So, hey, but the fans wanted it, so we're just giving them what they want. Yeah, like, anybody's listening anyway. So, so anyway, you know, the obvious themes from Bob Clark's Black Christmas that they took were, I mean, the obvious ones, the sorority house, the attic. They drifted into similar psychology from the first film. But, I mean, it did, it borrowed parts from almost every 80s film, which I find humorous. This is why, I mean, you know, I have to say, I got to give a big shout out to Rosman for this. He worked with De Palma, so he had this. He's, you know, working with De Palma gave him a lot of things to bring over to his first film. He was aware of the camera, okay? It's great. This film works because of its use of space, guys. Its use of the camera. He's constantly focused. He knows where the camera is. He's constantly aware of it. There's pivotal elements to a suspense story in here, guys. Pivotal elements I'm sure he got from De Palma, you know, all that good stuff. But there's pivotal elements here. There is a sense of dread. There is a sense of tension. There's a general unease about the film, which probably makes it surpass many of the mediocre slasher films, as if slasher films himself are not in some way mediocre. But, you know, I mean, you had the great slasher films, of course. We're talking about, you know, Prom Night and Slumber Party Massacre, Sleepaway Camp, you know, House in Sorority Row. But there are a lot of films that came out, a lot of copycats to the copycats. And they were horrible. They were horrendous. But House in Sorority Row worked because it actually has a general unease. You are actually constantly concerned about where you're at in the house. There are so many different location shots. I mean, you're constantly like, wow, the pool's right there. There's always a sense of foreboding. You're always like, what the hell? The killer could just come right there. Oh, my God. Well, look at that hole in the wall. Get away from that wall. There's too much space there. I mean, constantly. So I have to give Rosman that. Props to you, my man, because you utilized it well for this film. So I'm going to give him that. But you know what I'm going to say about this film? This is a menagerie of slasher-style horror flicks. I'm going to say that you need to watch House of Sorority Row because it's a best-of compilation. This film takes over so many other horror films. You have elements of Black Christmas. He dresses up like a clown. I mean, there's just so many other films in the 80s. There's so many comparisons you can make. Some of the dialogue. I mean, some of the characters. I mean, it's just insane. All the different 80s films, you can go, oh, yeah, that's from Prom Night. Oh, yeah, that's Sleepaway Camp. Oh, yep, I see that in there. I mean, you can just dissect it. It is the 80s, guys. House of Sorority Row represents 80s slasher. You want to watch all the 80s slasher films in one sitting? Watch House of Sorority Row. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's bad. Yeah, they ripped off everything from a bunch of horror films. I mean, and some horror films came out later, which is fine. We'll give them that. They you know, were a predecessor to some of them, the later 80s ones. But seriously, all the early stuff, they took some stuff from. It's all good. Slumber Party Massacre, I think, actually came out the year after. Like I said, I mean, they had the distinction of being 83, so they're early horror, but they still took stuff from other horror movies. So, yeah, I'm not going to say that, you know, they're original in any way, but, dude, they took what they had, they made it work. That's what's important, and people miss what's important in horror films, okay? And I'm so sick of all these armchair critics that say, well, I disagree with this. Have you worked on a film set? Do you know how this works? Do you know how this piece of machinery operates? No, you don't. So, I mean, it cracks me up, guys. You have to look at what worked and why it worked and the psychology at which it worked, the era in which it came out, and this will utilize and show you success in a film time after time. Of course, there are just crappy films because they're crappy films. But, of course, everybody thinks they're Steven Spielberg or something. But I don't even know if I'm not getting into my Steven Spielberg story. That's another show. That's an Oprah show right there. But, I mean, Richard Band composed the music. We all know how important music is to a horror film because look at John Carpenter's Halloween, okay? He showed it to a studio exec without the music, and she told him, this isn't scary. This is crap. So he went back, added the music, ran into her a few months later, and she's like, oh, my God, it's the scariest movie I've ever seen. Music, wow. And, I mean, this, you know, Richard Band composed it. It was recorded by the London Philharmonic Orchestra, which explains why the score is fantastic. I mean, it works for this film. This film is crazy, guys. This is like, this is the line in the sand for horror films, because it's such a bad movie and it rips off of so many other horror movies, and it's such so predictable in a way, yet it's not, yet it's uneasy. It utilizes space, it has a great score, you like it, you genuinely like it, you hate it, you like it. Guys, it's insane. It will drive you insane. The killer at the end, it's like John Wayne Gacy. It's freaking crazy, guys. I mean, he dresses up in a clown outfit and he does look like Gacy. You're like, oh my God, Pogo, I don't know what's happening. But I don't know. It's good stuff, guys. That's all I got to say. Usual trick of wondering who it is. The sleight of hand thing. They try to tell you, oh, it's her. She's alive. Oh, no, it could be this person. I mean, it's all the predictable stuff, guys. But you like it. You crave it. This is the stuff I'm talking about. This is horror's roots. I mean, not roots as far as, you know, Universal and the Gollum and all our European horror, that predestined Universal, but seriously, guys, these are the things that we have a leg to stand on. These are the reasons that horror, you know, supplanted itself, that, you know, stuck. You get every generation of horror films that comes through with a style. You know, we had psychological films. We had, our whole list of, you know, we had the Universal horror. We had the Satanism. I mean, horror goes through phases, and it's mostly psychology. So, I mean, it's crazy to see, but House of Sorority, guys, is this work? No, House and Sorority Row works. I love it. I love the craziness. It's uneasy. The pool scene, I don't even care. Any scene they show the pool makes me freak out. I don't know why. It's a pool. But I'm like, oh, it's dirty. It must be an evil pool. I mean, I don't know. I was a kid. It was great. I loved it. And I still love it, guys. And I recommend it to anybody. I recommend it to armchair critics. I recommend it to everybody under the sun. You could go ahead and you could dissect this movie to no end. You could go ahead and you could talk so much crap about it, but guys, they didn't make it to be serious. Like, they didn't make it to be the Holocaust, okay? It's a film. Go with it, guys. Work with it. Love it. Own it. Whatever. It puts the lotion on its skin. I don't care. Do whatever you got to do, guys. Like it. But anyway, I'm rambling. I don't even know. I'm just talking. I'm basically talking to myself because the producers are, like, doing something. They're twiddling something or another. But I'm going to go to break, guys, because when we come back, we're going to bring an old GG Hour segment back, okay? And I know you guys miss it, and we're going to bring it back. We've gotten fan letters requesting that we do another one. So I'm going to bring it back, and even though we're missing Techie Ed, we're going to work with it, all right? So stay tuned after our very, very brief commercial, because I said so. Where else are you going to go? We're the hottest thing on Thursday now. We're the hottest thing on Wednesday. We're the hottest thing on Thursday. Stick around.
And now a word from our sponsors.
Listen to Darker Side of the Moon Thursday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at darkersideradio.com.
From horror movies to the paranormal, we cover it all.
It's a spooky, weird, and zany kind of show.
With your hosts,
Laura Moon
and Becky Ray.
Don't miss it.
Was I hearing like an afterglow of Darker Side of the Moon there? Oh, my God, guys. That was crazy. I'm sitting there going, am I hearing an EVP happening on the tape? I don't know. Maybe I'm just freaking out. Those were our lovely ladies from Darker Side of the Moon Radio, one of the coolest paranormal shows out there. They usually go to Troy Taylor's events down in Decatur, his haunted functions, his haunted conferences, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, guys, we got something really special for you. Well, I think it's special. I don't know. I'm special at it. It all works. So I have something really cool for you guys, and you're going to freak out because I'm freaking out right now. Are you freaking out? You freaking out, producer? Yeah, I'm freaking out. They're like, what is she doing? What is she doing now? What, is she still talking? Is the show still on? Usually we're not on anymore. But guess what? I got another half hour. So anyway, everyone's like, oh, God, make her stop. Anyway, guys, we usually do something really cool, but I have something. Techie Ed is AWOL, okay? He's running across the U.S. He's trying to get away from the cops. Necrophilism everywhere. Dead bodies dropping. 70-year-old men are cringing in their chairs as I speak. All points bulletin. Techie Ed is running for his life. So he, unfortunately, is not going to be with us for a few weeks. Anyway, I have something even more special. A GG Hour correspondent who is our ear on the street. We have, I guess she's our ear on the street. We have the big ear herself. What's up, Raren? Hello? She died. Did she go away? Is she gone? Hello? Wow, that mob must have really got her. That's hysterical. She just totally left. That's awesome. All right, guys, you know what? We're going to call her back because she was in the middle of something, and I'm going to give her some space. I'm going to call her. God knows, what would the show be without technical problems? Wouldn't be a show, would it? We're going to bring her back. She was in the middle of something. It sounded kind of crazy over there. Should I pretend I'm somebody else? I hear myself in the background.
Hello?
Are you listening to the show?
I am.
I thought you were doing something important. You're supposed to be out there reporting for us.
I am.
Yeah. Listen to the show, guys. Yeah, she's reporting. This is our number one correspondent. You can see she gets all her news from the armchair of her couch. What's up? This is Raren, guys. She is the official Gorgo Variety Hour correspondent. She's been out. She gets us the hot scoop. She gets us craziness. She goes out and fights mobster pigeons. It's all good. What's up, Raren?
Nothing much. What about you, Gigi?
No, well, apparently, I'm doing a show or something. I don't know. Some crazy stuff's going on. I don't know.
When does this start?
Yeah, when do I do a show? What is this? Well, you know, I do get confused. I will admit it. I get confused because, you know, I do the international show on Sunday nights, and we used to do this show on Sunday, so it made it a nice, convenient little package for me. Now I do this show on Wednesday nights at 7, and I got an extra half hour. I'm all confuzzled, you know. I'm like, what show am I on? Am I doing GNT? Is this, what show is this? This is when Techie Yed usually pokes me. Gore Girl, you're on your show right now. Oh, yeah. Yeah. This show.
Nice.
I know. So, where have you been this week? Have you were supposed to call me. We needed to get the hot news. You were supposed to be downtown. Like, weren't you, like, at some Gore Girl promotion thing or something? I don't even show it to my own promotional events. Weren't you at something that my name was attached to or something? I don't know.
I got kidnapped by Tech Dad to protect him from the cops. So, I was kind of gone for a little bit. Couldn't make it to your appearance.
How is Tech Dad? He hasn't bothered to call from the road.
You know, last I saw him, he was out of breath. He's doing a lot of running. He needs more money. Can you send money his way?
Yeah, I don't.
It's expensive being on the run.
Until you contribute more man hours, you're not getting it. I don't care. Right now, Raren has taken over. Oh, my God. Well, I don't even know. There was some promotional event going downtown that had my name attached to it. And downtown, people, I do mean downtown Chicago. I don't even know. The producers set stuff up half the time, Gore Girl promotional events. I'm just told where to be. It's pretty much, they open the cage door and say, come on, girl, come on, run, talk. And I'm like, oh, hi there, hello, welcome to Movie Mode. I don't know, but I'm glad that you're out there. And we do want to give you a big thanks for going out and being, you know, the ear on the street, finding out what's going on, talking to the fans, getting the listener poll, you know, just basically talking to people, finding out, you know, what they'd like, dislike, and basically how bad they want to kill me or screw me or whatever. I don't know. It's all the same to me.
It's about half-half.
Half-half. We're about half-half now. Half of them want to kill me, half of them want to screw me, then the other half want to do it together. So, oh, my God. So, I'm happy to have you on the show. Oh. Wait. Oh, crap. Do you hear that? Wait. Seriously, do you hear that? I think it's the children of the night. What are they telling us? Oh my God, it's the stone of the week! It's the stone of the week!
Stone of the week!
Oh my God! What's the stone of the week, Raren?
I don't know.
You don't know? I thought you knew!
No, I didn't know. Techie Yen stole it from me.
Oh no.
Him and his all his men, he took it. I don't know this week. It's gone.
Oh, great.
Damn him.
Great.
He
look
stole
at,
it.
Look at Techie Yen, he's sabotaging everything. Do I,
you know,
what?
He stole my file. He wanted to try to sell it for some money for, you know, Gigi had a print on it, you know, famous.
So wait, like he didn't even give you the paperwork at all?
No.
Oh my God. I'm so like mad. Okay. All right. Well, Raren, can
what
you...
is the stone of the week?
Thank you for asking. You know what? I'm going to call Tech Girl Yan in because I feel retarded doing stone of the week by myself. So, Raren, I want you to stay on and give us commentary while we do stone of the week.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. The show would not be the show without technical difficulties. It really wouldn't. Hey, Techie Yan.
What?
Could you come here and do the show with me?
Why?
Yay!
I actually had to flag her down because you know the window where the producers are? Techie Yan, she usually is inside the room doing tech stuff inside, and we have somebody on the outside handling, you know, whatever the hell the producers talk about. But she was actually out there. I don't know why. I hope to God.
They let her outside?
No, she was outside the window with them doing, I don't even know what you were doing.
Was she feeding them?
Oh,
were they feeding her?
I don't know what happened. Well, thanks for coming in. I mean, you know, I don't know. Did you lock the door behind you? Because I don't want anybody coming in and kicking us off.
I did lock the door.
Thanks. All right, would you please do the stone of the week with me?
I would love to do the stone of the
week. Great. Okay. I'm serious. Techie Yen, we miss you, man. So, stone of the week! Stone of the week! What's the stone of the week, Techie Yen?
It's Citrine.
Citrine?
Citrine.
Or Citrine. Whatever. I didn't know. Did you know that it cleans auras?
Did you know that it also detoxifies the body?
Ooh, I did not know. It's anti-nightmare.
And how about protection?
It controls emotions.
And it sharpens your intellect.
Provides optimism and confidence. Did you know that citrine is a rare quartz crystal that is a golden hue or pale yellow and mostly comes from Brazil, being produced in the Rio Grande do Sul?
It's also the birthstone for the month of November, but in some circles, it substitutes as an alternative birthstone for Virgos.
Virgos, that's Techie Yen. Citrine was prized by the Celtic and Scottish people because it was thought to energize, invigorate, and attract positive energy.
And, little did you know, it was also one of the stones used in the breastplate of the high priest. In ancient times, it was carried as a protection against the plague, skin problems, snake bites, an evil thought.
Oh my God, we need that right now. The stone actually helps treat the heart, kidneys, liver, muscles, and also improves digestion and clear congestion from internal organs. It can balance the thyroid and is possible blood purifier as well.
And also, citrine is linked to the element of air, thus being useful in clearing negative energy.
Woo! By opening up the solar plexus chakra, it's a powerful aid in manifesting desires and intensifying thoughts. And emotions.
It is a Gemini Mercury stone, which helps in overcoming depression, fears, and phobias.
Phobias! Called the Merchant Stone because of its aid in wealth and abundance. It also helps with mental clarity, problem solving, and promoting creativity.
Since citrine is reported to hold no negativity, it never requires cleansing or clearing.
Woohoo! And Gora Girl's personal favorite, citrine is associated with tissue regeneration. So, thank you so much. Techie Yan, you can leave now. I kicked the See, I'm such a horrible boss. I'm like, get the hell out of here. But tissue regeneration, guys. I think every turkey out there needs to carry a citrine stone in their pocket for protection because apparently it aids in tissue regeneration. So God knows I want my turkeys to have regrowing tissue. I don't know about you guys, but when I cut something off my turkey, I want it to come back. So something. That's what I'm saying. What do you think, Raren?
I think that's excellent. I can't wait to go get some. Sanctuary crystals, right?
Actually, yes. There's actually a metaphysical emporium in Chicago called Sanctuary Crystals, which I did the live commercial for. Those girls are great. We love them. They,
Woo!
They promote the show. They sell Gore Girl t-shirts at their store. So they are the official headquarters. Well, not headquarters. No.
What headquarters?
They're one of the official licensed stores to carry my apparel. So pins, buttons, t-shirts, all that stuff.
Cows?
What? Cows? What?
Cows?
Oh, cows. I'm like, cows? I don't sell cows. Do I look like a farmer to you?
Farmer,
ear on the street. No, I'm dead.
I know all.
I know all. I know you carry cows, damn it. No, not at all, really, but okay. Sanctuary Crystals, you can check them out, www.sanctuarycrystals.com. They actually supply a lot of things, like I was saying, incense, all that stuff, and they teach classes, metaphysical classes. So definitely check those out, guys. They will have citrine in stock if you're making a bag or doing a potion or anything of the sort. I don't know. Whatever you're going to use citrine for. But what's cool about it, what Techie Yed would love about it, is that it does not need to be cleansed. You could just use it. You don't need to worry about purifying it before you put your intentions into it, anything like that. Good stuff. But, hey, Raren, so you listened to the show the first hour, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Wait, yes, you are. What? You did?
Yes.
Okay, I was like, what? What?
Yes.
I did! You're from Chicago, right? Speak a little louder.
Chicago.
Chicago. Lobsters. You know, we eat a pizza, we, you know, smoke our cigars, and we scream at each other in the street. That's how we do things up in Chi-Town.
And we watch for killer birds.
And we watch for mobster birds. Exactly. Exactly. And insane cops that pull you over for not turning your headlight on 2 seconds after you pull out. Two seconds!
Chicago's finest.
Well, actually, that cop's looking for me, but whatever. We won't digress on that. Anyway, what was I saying? No, so you listened to the show the first hour.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell did I talk about? I don't even remember. You see what happens? I think Gore Girl has an hour shelf expectancy. I think once I pass that, now that I got this other half hour, my mind goes blank. I'm like, what? Did I just start? What happened? What's going on? I was just crazy. Did you enjoy the first hour?
I did. I was very well informed there. I heard with my ear.
With your ear. Are you a giant ear, or do you just have an ear?
I just have just one ear.
Oh, just one ear. So
one.
I can come up with a mobster name for you, like One Ear. Creative, isn't it? I'm not apparently not carrying any citrine on me right now. But carry it, though, turkeys. I'm telling you, I expect to see turkeys with citrine necklaces on. Because I swear to God, that's gonna be hot this holiday season. I want my turkey's leg to grow back. I want unlimited supply of turkey.
Comes with a little timer and necklace.
Yeah, ooh. With a timer. This stylish what is that, Purdue? This stylish Purdue turkey is oven roasted and honey basted. And it comes with a pop-up timer as well as a beaded necklace of citrine so that your cut-off parts will come back to you.
The never-ending turkey.
The never-ending turkey. You will never need to buy another turkey ever again. This turkey can be yours for the low price of $5,999.
Woohoo!
I should sell turkeys. I sound awesome. Anyway, so were you entertained by the first hour? Because I don't know what I was talking about.
I was. You're talking about movies and remakes and, you know, people you've interviewed.
Oh, my God. I forgot
to
the remake. Thanks for mentioning that. I forgot to say, oh, I can't even believe it, about House and Sorority Row. They're actually doing a remake, guys. I know. Yes, it sucks, doesn't it? They're doing a remake. Summit Entertainment is producing it, and they're just calling it Sorority Row. It's going to be directed by Stuart Hendler, and guess who it stars, guys?
Who?
Bruce and Demi's daughter, Rumor Willis. I don't know. I can't say much.
Potato Head?
Potato Head? Is this the word on the street? Is this what my ear on the street is telling me?
Potato Head.
Look at this. Gigi Hour comes through with the hot gossip. Rumor Willis is called Potato Head on the streets of Chicago. My God, guys. My God. Now when I get her on the show and I'm grilling her about the remake, I'll be like, hey, I heard I heard you were called Potato Head. What is this? What is why? What's going on? Why is she called Potato Head?
She's got that Mr. Potato Head thing going. Huge chin. That's a Jay Leno chin. I don't know. I just hear these things, okay? My one ear.
Who's telling you this? Tell him to shut up. I actually haven't seen Rumor Willis in any movies. I mean, I know she's been in, like, what, God, like 7 or 8? I think if you go on, like, IMDb or something, her page is, like, off the chart. So I know she's done a lot, which I guess is a good thing because maybe she's good. I don't know. I've never personally seen her. If I have, I didn't know it was her. So I don't know, but she's starring in House and Sorority Row. It's kind of like the Black Christmas remake that they did. You saw the Black Christmas remake, right? It had Lacey Chabert in it. It had Michelle Trachtenberg. I can't even remember any other bouncing everywhere girls from the WB that are on. So, it's the bouncing WB. This is what happens when WB girls go wrong. They do remakes of horror movies that don't need to be remade. This is what happens, guys. No, are you excited? We got a, crazy guy talking. Crazy guy. Now he's not going to come on the day. So we got Rob Dunbar coming on next week to talk about the Jersey Devil.
Nice.
Are you interested in that? Is it something that interests you?
Totally. And then don't you have Lloyd the following week?
I don't know. Because when I talk to Lloyd personally, he's kind of crazy. So I can only imagine what we're going to say in an hour that's going to, like, freak people out. I don't know. People might be running. They might be like, oh, my God, we can't listen to the show anymore. It's crazy. But do you remember when we had Ed Neal from Texas Chainsaw Massacre on?
I do.
The entire time he was on, it was like stand-up comedy hour. It really was, guys. It was like stand-up comedy hour. I still get letters to this day asking if Ed Neal and I are going on the road together, if we're going to be a stand-up comedy act. People said we were hysterical. And I was like, what? I did a show? What happened? See, I'm so brain dead. I don't know. But you know what? Raren, are you going to go see House and Sorority Row? Not the remake. Are you going to go rent it? Because of... Why are you laughing? There's nothing funny. Are you going to go see it? And she laughs at me. This is the year I'm straight. She laughs at me. I'm your boss, damn it. No. Are you going to
pay me?
Yeah, really, I don't. So.
You still don't give us money.
Yeah, producers give out money? What?
You're the wrong flowers.
Any money we make, people think that radio stars make a lot of money. I've been doing G&D for 2 years, and all the money that we make goes right back into the show. People assume, you're a radio star. You're like, oh, they're making millions of dollars. Where and who is this? Who do I have to blow up? Hell no. It ain't happening. But, are you going to go rent House and Sorority Row?
I totally am. I'm getting my shoes on right now. Going up to Hollywood.
Or not. Why are you lying to me?
You can't see me.
You're lying to me. You're lying to me. I can hear it. I can hear the ear. The ear is twitching. I can hear it. No, but I love House and Sorority Row, man. I love that classic. I mean, it is just, it's phenomenal. That movie is freaking phenomenal. I mean, because it's campy, because it's goofy, because it's silly. I mean, that's why I love it. So I don't know. But do you know what I actually do love, which I'm actually, as soon as I click off of the show, as soon as we sign out and I throw the mic down, throw my headphones off, grab my coat, run out the door, get in the car and leave. Do you know what I'm going to go watch?
What's that?
My freaking favorite ass movie of the Christmas season. I'm starting Christmas already. I'm falling into the Walmart trap. I'm going to go watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Nice.
Oh, my God. How is that not hysterical? How is that movie not funny? That is like the top 5 comedies of all time. Christmas Vacation is on there. Seriously. I cry when I watch that movie. It is so funny. It's dumb. I love it. Chevy Chase is insane. I have to say, of all the National Lampoon movies with Chevy Chase and the whole family in them, I have to say that's the best one. It's the funniest one. I don't know why. I can't explain it. It just worked. All the actors coming together, the story, the way that they proceed, the timing, it was great. I mean, the other ones were funny, okay? The other ones were humorous. But this one, oh, my God. Oh, my God. my family, you know, Mama Gore and all the little Gorelings sit around the TV, and they watch Christmas Vacation on Thanksgiving to get us ready for the Christmas season. Preferably, well, I mean, if I had my choice, I'd watch Silent Night, Deadly Night or something to really get us in the mood, but that's okay. But no, seriously, Christmas Vacation, how is that not funny? Oh, my God. I cry every time I see that movie. It's hysterical. Frickin', I don't even know. What was I saying today? I quote that movie all the time. I will be walking, and I'll just talk to somebody and be like, it's a bit nipply out. And they're like, yeah, it is nippy. And I'm like, dumbass, I didn't say nippy, I said nipply. And so it's like I'm walking around, or I'll say something like, somebody will go, what? What'd you say? The blessing! I mean, it's crazy. I love it. I don't care. And I'm not ashamed. Gore Girl is not ashamed to admit that she watches things other than gore. I'm not ashamed. I'm proud to say that I watch Golden Girls, and I watch Christmas Vacation. I'm proud. I said it. I'm out. I'm out of the closet.
Nice.
I've just come out of the horror closet. I seriously did. It's insane. And look at this. I got a caller. Did I just get this caller? I have no idea. If you just called into the show, I'm not even going to say your number on air, but your area code is 916 or some jazz. I'm sorry. We have so many tech problems. I don't even know what's happening anymore.
Call back.
Call what?
They can call back.
Call next week when we have Rob Dunbar on. This is seriously, but we've only got 3 minutes of the show left. So I know it's a horrible. Well, I want it to end. I want to go watch Christmas Vacation. What are you talking about? I want my own show to end. I'm like, when is this broad going to shut up? I can go watch my damn movie. Raren, take over. I'm leaving early. She's like, hello, I am Raren. You're on the street. Oh, my God. So I'm sorry to you that's calling. We have so many freaking tech problems, like yesterday and today. I have no idea what's going on. Wait, we did a show last week. The show last week ran fine, right? Yeah, I don't get it, guys. That's why we had the producers in here at the beginning of the show. I looked behind my little window thing, and there was, like, all of them in there, which is rare because only usually, like, two of them are here. Excuse me. We had, like, all seven here, so it was crazy. So apparently people are getting ticked off about the technical difficulties. But, dude, if you are the 916 number that just tried to call in, call next week because we're working the tech problems out this show. Next week we should be golden, guys. And we're having Rob Dunbar on. It's going to be a crazy show. We're going to talk, you know, New Jersey Devil. We're going to talk cryptozoology. I'm going to throw some spook stuff at you, get the paranormal people pumped. We got some crazy stuff going on. And, of course, Black Wednesday, the week after that, we've got Lloyd Kaufman on, and we're going drinking. How exciting.
Woo!
I just threw that in there. I really don't know. I don't know what's happening. But and then, of course, we are going to be your elves of evil for the entire month of December. So did you enjoy yourself tonight? Did you enjoy the show, Raren?
I did.
Why are you lying to me? Why are you lying? Well, I hope you enjoyed it, all you little – what I'm going to call them gorelings now. That's my new thing. All you little gorelings, you little gore whores out there. All of you out there, I hope you had a good time tonight. Sorry about the tech problem. We're cooping as fast as we can, guys. Next week, we got Rob Dunbar. The week after, we got Lloyd Kaufman. And the week after that, I've got some paranormal goodies for you guys. So stay tuned. Check us out next week, Wednesdays at 7 p.m. on your favorite station, as well as mine, www.blogtalkradio.com/HMFradio. So from our psychotic, technical, difficulty-laden staff to all of you gore whores, have an awesome night and rock out, guys.